Many Possible Cities, 3 giorni di incontri, mostre e laboratori curati da chi progetta le città di domani tra arte, design e green thinking.
If you had the chance, would you change the world?
Radio Papesse Live da Manifattura Tabacchi. Andrea Sangelidakis.
Andreas, I will introduce you in Italian and then we'll shift to English. Andreas Angelidakis si descrive come un architetto che non costruisce, in questo ci ricorda tanti architetti radicali che qui a Firenze hanno avuto base negli anni 70. Si muove piuttosto come artista tra i linguaggi dell'architettura, della curatela, della scrittura, tra il mondo virtuale e il mondo reale. Nei suoi lavori parla di spazi, di edifici e soprattutto delle società che li abitano, e utilizzando e sperimentando vari formati espositivi come parte integrante della propria pratica. Ricordiamo alcune mostre recenti: Demos and Reconstruction al MoCA di Toronto, I Used to Build My Feelings, Now I Watch Them Leave alla Loge di Bruxelles, e il suo lavoro è stato presentato anche a Documenta 14, a Kassel e Atene, alle OGR di Torino e Art Basel e molto molto altro. Quindi adesso passo all'inglese. Andreas Angelidakis describes himself as an architect who doesn't build. Instead, he utilizes an artistic voice that switches between the languages of architecture, curating, writing and the internet. He often speaks about spaces, buildings and the society that inhabits them with the exhibition format acting as a vehicle for his ideas and a medium for his artistic practice. Recent exhibitions include Demos, a reconstruction at MoCA, Toronto, I Used to Build My Feelings, Now I Watch Them Leave, à la Loge in Brussels, Documenta 14 in Kassel and Athens, the biennial of moving images in Geneva and at the OGR in Turin, and a large-scale installation for Art Basel Unlimited. So welcome, Andreas, finally. Thank you for accepting our invitation, and we are truly glad to open our live show with you, and also to have some time to talk about Ponte, the project that you've been working on here in Florence. Just let me explain the audience what Ponte is. A multifaceted project, is a show, is an open call, and it's an inclusive platform that give even a temporary community a space and professional and unprofessional voices the right to be heard. So the pretext, let's say, that you're using is a very symbolic and also a very functional architectural element, that is the bridge, il ponte, and you've basically invited people to contribute to the show with drawings, blueprint, what else?
It could be models, photographs, collage, anything they can fit in an A3 area.
And how did it go?
It's going very well. I mean, they are still arriving because we decided to keep it open until the end. I think we have about 170 works right now from very different age groups. I think from 5 years old to 85. Which is fascinating for me. That's the whole point of the open call.
But let's start from the bridge. First of all, what was the epiphany you came along with? I mean, why the bridge and what is a bridge? Because of course, from the dictionary, we know that it's something that connects or joins. It is something that has a function, but is it a thing or a space, and a place can be a bridge itself?
Yeah, the idea of the of Ponte was basically I was discussing with an erudition, with Lorenzo Gigotti and Valerio Manucci, what kind of project we could propose to Manifattura, because they had asked them for a sort of user participation project. And I guess they were mentioning a lot the notion of creating a bridge to people and the sort of notion of connecting and bridge. So I said, of course, Florence, the main kind of icon that we tourists, let's say, souvenir, is a bridge that is quite a radical bridge because it's inhabitable. It has shops on it. And it's almost like a sort of blueprint for hybrid building. It's been inspiration for many architects because it's this kind of merging of functions, bridge and shops and pedestrian space and all those things. So that was the idea of using the bridge as a, let's say, symbol for the open call. But I mean, the actual project is to investigate a bit the community around Manifattura Tabacchi, and not necessarily just the cultural community, but also like make it open. So even if somebody who was always shy and never showed their drawing could use the bridge as an excuse to bring it and to join us. So it's kind of a gathering rather than an exhibition, exactly.
So the bridge is itself like a relational space more than a place that you can cross, mainly.
Yes, I mean, if you imagine a bridge or like every kind of infrastructure, the people who use it have a common direction or opposing direction. So everybody who passes through a bridge wants to go from A to B. And so these people have at least this one thing in common. So when the bridge allows them to interact with each other, it becomes immediately a relatable social space.
And if you want to stay in a place like if it was a bridge, if you don't want to move?
Yeah, that's Ponte Vecchio, right there.
You think that a place like Manifattura Tabacchi can be or can become such a space?
I think it's in the process of becoming such a space. Because, of course, it was a famous factory that is, as a building, it was very much a part of the city of Florence. Like, so many people worked here when it was functioning. And what I think is happening now is the building is transitioning, is crossing a bridge, let's say, from factory, empty building, locked up space, gradually inhabited, and used and also tested in different ways. So we know that the uses that we have here today might be moved in a few months in another building. So I think this is kind of laboratory of inhabiting a building, which is a great way to develop a new part of town.
It's not the first time that you're using like an architectural module or like an element to trigger this kind of participatory or democratic processes, and I would like to talk and to bring to the fore of our conversation the foam modules that you developed for the Parliament of Body, like is the way I saw it in Documenta 3 years ago in the camouflage version of it, and like a sort of installation, a kind of set for people to build it and destroy it and change it, like changing the meaning, changing the structure. So very often I've heard about this kind of situation. I've heard the term chaos democracy. So first of all, if you can go in depth into this concept, and then it's just a curiosity if the ideas of chaos and cosmos from ancient Greece has in a way informed or brought you there to develop this idea.
The four modules are a good example of what I would call chaos democracy, because it's basically a seating system, but it's a seating system that by its nature it invites the user to rearrange it and to change the exact configuration or form. And so depending on what kind of social gathering it is, if it's a public program, an intimate discussion, you can create different types of spaces. And also gradually the people understand that they can make the spaces and decide how to use them. And that is always a switch, because normally in cultural spaces we are taught to be, you know, careful, not touch too much things, not to move anything, of course. So suddenly this piece that you can not only move it around, but actually like build something, because it's like building blocks. It's based on the children's building blocks. It's fascinating to watch people's behavior.
I think it's also a way to share like a kind of authorship or a kind of...
Yes, it's kind of giving up authorship a bit. Because usually when a museum commissions such a piece, they also ask me, depending on the exact version, what configurations are possible. So I oblige them, of course. I make like the, let's say, 20 versions of what spaces it could be. But the most interesting thing is the surprise of seeing what other people do. So it's a bit giving up the authorship of the architect and giving it over to the public, which I think is what democracy and our current society needs to do more, is to give up things to the public.
To give agency also?
Yes, yes, agency definitely. And also, if you think about Manifattura Tabacchi, what is happening in these spaces, it used to be a factory, and now suddenly they're going to be opening up and becoming public space. So even the courtyards would be open, let's say, during the day. That's how you sort of build any kind of city life or any kind of... So for me, because I'm trained as an architect, if nobody uses my work, I feel it's not happening yet. It doesn't exist.
But that brings me also to another question. What is a public space? I mean, just the fact of being an open space is enough to be a public space, or you think that participation... Because if we think of the agora, from, I mean, from the Middle Age to our mediated, hyper-mediated era, I mean... It's nothing without participation or without voluntary participation.
You need to help people along to be able to participate. So, for example, we could do an open call saying, bring something to exhibit in the spaces here. But instead, when you explained it's a ponte and this is the idea of, you know, spaces of where we meet other people, kind of lubricate a bit the process of participation. That is important. For example, last summer I showed one of these large sitting pieces at Art Basel, and the first day nobody was touching anything and just like looking at it as a sculpture. It was only in the afternoon of the first day where I asked the guards to move things around and throw something down that people began to use it. And then it was like non-stop until the last days. It was like crazy. It's a kind of work that needs the sort of behavioral participation of people. So people need to feel comfortable with it. And when they see it, it also looks like a sculpture. It doesn't look like chairs or sitting or sleeping spots. So you need to encourage them, let's say.
Radio Papesse per Manifattura Tabacchi, il podcast di Many Possible Cities.
Welcome back. This is Radio Papesse live from Manifattura Tabacchi. We're having a conversation with Andrea Sangilidakis, our first guest. So a question that follows the previous one about agency, like for citizens in the city, in the urban space. And you were talking about the way you have to help people to interact with a space. But I was wondering if there's also a way in which architectures themselves trigger a certain kind of behaviors or can give agency to citizens. And also that I think it's even more interesting how citizens, how people interact or use tactically the urban space and architectures for their own everyday life and purposes.
Of course, the public space and the built environment in general is in a way also designing us. It designs our behavior. The same with technology, like gradually the existence of new ways to communicate design also new behaviors. So this has been for a long time the focus of my research, thinking of, let's say, for example, what is the architectural equivalent of a person looking down holding their phone, which is a pose that everybody immediately assumes in a public space, especially in the condition of waiting. You know, how do you deal with that? Do you try to antagonize and catch people's attention, or do you make it more comfortable to have that kind of behavior? And also, of course, the way public space, you know, architecture is a control practice. It's all about controlling like flow of people, how they enter spaces, how they use it. So of course it shows people how to interact with itself or invents behaviors. And of course, it's even more interesting when people invent their own type of activity in public space. For example, Athens is a city where we are still going through this immigration crisis, and you see people, you know, occupying public space just as a shelter and turning it. So yeah, it's a very interesting subject and very, very close to me.
This tactic use of the cities, it's interesting also thinking of, again, the radicals. I mean, like repossessing the city, the amazing video by Ugo La Pietra was excellent in this, in showing how people can really repossess and reclaim the space. So that's where the question came from.
Yeah. In fact, the Architettura Radicale is one of my main universities, let's say, or teachings. It's a specific period in architecture, which for me is perhaps the most important, because it was a moment when architecture could be radical and critical. So architecture that questions things rather than just proposes a shiny new object, but poses questions about how we inhabit objects, why we pay so much money for them, all those things. And of course that period, the late 60s, early 70s, was a period of social revolution. Architettura Radicale was exactly part of that, maybe even one of the instigators. I really believe in the possibility of architecture to be a critical tool for bettering society.
And you're also speculating a lot about architectures. I mean, the way you think of buildings as bodies, as actors, in a way that Bruno Latour would frame it, like in an actor network theory. Not, I mean, they have their own agency, they have their own feelings, and they, of course, trigger different feelings. And this is very fascinating to me, but I was wondering where this idea of the building as a body come from for you, and if you have an idea when this idea of the building as a body, or even the city as a body, entered the discourse, the architectural discourse.
I mean, there is a long history of personifying buildings. If you go back to Étienne-Louis Boulay and his proposals for anything from the Newton cenotaph to the city. So, the Rococo period, or from Baroque period, there was this kind of sensuality of buildings. For me, it's more of an emotional thing. Like when it happened that I was designing a space, I would kind of ask what the space would want to become. It's a sort of metaphor. It's also a metaphor for myself, you know. I use it as a psychoanalytical tool, let's say. But I think every creative practice includes a percentage of self-reflection. Yeah. I spent too many years psychoanalyzing, so now I gave it up.
Okay.
It's time to enjoy the result rather than...
Many Possible Cities podcast is a production by Radio Papesse, radiopapesse.org.